This was a popsicle, by the way. Well, it is finally here. February 2nd, it is Super Bowl Sunday. I don't care what Puxtawani Phil sees when he pops up. I'm not a Pennsylvanian, so congratulations. So it is Super Bowl Sunday. Now, if you are not a sports fan, don't worry, I'll pick you up in a second, but I gotta do the sports thing for a second because I'm having a dilemma. See, we have two really good teams that have played fairly well through their whole season. They have some really good key players. They're both pretty well equally matched and lined up, so we're gonna have a good game today, right? My problem is, I always cheer for the underdogs. I mean, I cheer for the Vikings. I'm a Vikings fan, so right there. Or I usually cheer for whoever's playing against the Packers. Sorry. But this time around, I'm trying to figure out who to cheer for, because both teams are pretty well equally matched. I mean, you can argue about wide receivers versus quarterbacks, but the NFL is a quarterback game, and we'll get there later. My problem is the Kansas City Chiefs are the ones who are favored to win this game, which makes the 49ers the underdogs. But they've already won 5 Super Bowls, so, and the Chiefs have only won 1. So who am I supposed to cheer for? No. It makes it a really interesting game. Go, 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 go. No, no. Who are the underdogs? So now, if you're not a sports fan, think about some of your favorite stories, like novels that you read or movies that you've seen. Think of a few of your favorites. Chances are that in that list of your favorites, you have a story about an underdog. I mean, everything from Rocky to Karate Kid to Remember the Titans, or, good Lord, this could be a long list. Even Star Wars. These are all stories about the underdogs rising up, fighting against the evil ones, doing the really cool, like, Cobra pose, and eventually overcoming. I think we're drawn to these stories. I think part of it is because we usually see ourselves as the underdogs, the people that are fighting against all these horrible things in our lives, and we have to rise above. So we love the stories when people rise above. And I think Jesus, in this story, in his whole life, it's an underdog story. So think about it. Jesus is a carpenter from a small town, somebody who's never really expected to go anywhere or do anything in his life, and he has become this traveling teacher. This person who speaks great and powerful things and messages that move people about who God is. And it's drawing all these other people to him because it's an underdog story. And I think they see themselves in what he's talking about. And especially today, as he gathers all these people, gather around him at this mountaintop, he is definitely speaking to the people who are the underdogs. And so I hear kind of three main people that he's talking to in our story, in our blessing today, this beginning of his Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to those who are crushed under the weight and the burden of the troubles and the torments of life. And he's speaking to the people who are bent on serving others. And he's speaking to the people who are targeted because of their faith. And as he's speaking to these people, he is the one that's trying to rise them up. He uses words like, blessed are you. Really, it's a congratulations, good news, be happy, you who are mourning, you who are weak, you who are poor in spirit, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So this first group that Jesus is talking to are these people who have been crushed by what's going on in their lives. And if you think about it, I think this is the category that most of us fit into, where we feel the weight of what it is to live every day. The people poor in spirit could be those who fight with mental illness, those who, especially in this season, are battling depression. For those who feel like they are all alone in the world, those who feel that God has left them. The poor in spirit, the ones who can't even hear good about themselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, the people who have lost loved ones, the ones that are trying to find the pieces of their life and put them back together in a way that makes sense when nothing seems to make sense. Blessed are those who mourning goes much beyond just losing a loved one. It could be a broken friendship that's no longer someone you can trust. Or it could be the loss of a job, a change in your life from working all the time to being retired. And what does that look like? People can mourn all sorts of things. A loss of your sense of self or meaning or purpose, or maybe even the loss of nostalgia, where you can't see anything good now because all you see is what was good back then. Blessed are those who mourn, for you will be comforted. And blessed are those who are meek, the ones whose voices will not be heard, the ones who are expected to step aside if somebody else comes along and has a different idea. Because you will inherit the kingdom of God. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the people who are pushed to the margins, the people who are hurting but no one seems to hear their voice or even care or be able to do anything. Coming off the Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust, and I remember our Jewish brothers and sisters. Coming into Black History Month, our African-American brothers and sisters. And you can add to that list all the people that are pushed to the margins, the Native Alaskans, and our Latino brothers and sisters. All those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that seems so far away for people who have lost so much. And Jesus says to those who are pushed off to the side, you will be satisfied. You will be filled up with all the things that have been emptied away from you. And then he looks to the next group, the people who are bent on serving others. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are pure of heart. Blessed are you who are the peacemakers. These are the people who are outward focused, who are living in kindness and compassion for others. Those who are trying to find the best for everybody. Those who don't come with any ulterior motive, but they're just trying to live at peace with the people around them. And Jesus said, you will receive mercy, and you will see God, and you will be the kind of people that are such a spitting image of God that they will say, you are God's children. Blessed are you who are bent on serving others. And finally, Jesus looks to the last group. Blessed are you who are persecuted in my name. You who put your lives on the line just because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Because you will be made fun of, and you will have all your arguments picked apart, and you will have your reputation will be ruined. Your family may become a laughing stock, and you may have lives that are threatened just because of that belief. But for you, you have the kingdom of God. This whole introduction, this whole beginning of Jesus' sermon just paints this picture that God's kingdom is for the underdogs. God's kingdom is for the people who are not rich and powerful and the ones that others listen to. It's for the people that are always pushed aside and ignored. The people that are carrying heavy burdens, those are the people that God blesses. Because the Lord knows that our world, our culture, doesn't bless them at all. And I think that if we have it together here, if we've got all of our ducks in a row and we seem to have everything figured out, I'm not so sure that those blessings are for us. But I think when we recognize and see ourselves as the poor in spirit, and we admit the times when we are the ones that are trampled underfoot or expected to serve or pushed aside, we see that these blessings are for us too. In this world that is so focused on securing what we have and controlling our own little worlds and making ourselves safe, I think this is an invitation to let go of what the world would expect. All the things that this world tells us, this is important and this is how you're supposed to live, to let go of that and instead trust God. And if that looks like us stepping back from all these good things so that we can be closer to God? I think that's the gift of the invitation. Because if we're living well now and we've got it all figured out now, where is our reward? It's in the life we have. If we're willing to empty ourselves and give ourselves to God, then our reward is waiting for us in heaven. Maybe it's as simple as what Micah tells us, living this life of faith, being the ones whom God blesses. As simple as what Micah tells us is, what does the Lord require of you? Really, what is God asking us to do? But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. To empty ourselves of all the things that we think we have to do and all the ways we're expected to look perfect to everybody else. To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And next week we'll see what that looks like. Just what exactly does a life that is poured out for God, what does that do to the world around us? And how does God take the underdogs and raise us to new life? Amen. If you are able, I invite you to stand. We'll join together in our song of the day. We are singing.